Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show alongside Carlos Ortiz with Marco Belletti on the updates. It is good to be with you here on this Wednesday as we head into your Thursday night, which will mark us 1 week from the NFL draft. Plenty of draft to discuss throughout the next 4 hours. Sam Bruckhaus joining us, data scientist with Sumer Sports. That will be in about 20 minutes. We'll go over some of the things that he thinks could happen. Obviously, a lot of intrigue with the top three, the top four, the top 10, the first round in general. We'll get into that in a little bit. Baseball power rankings are back and plenty on the, well, we've actually never done them, but they are starting tonight and plenty on the play-in tournament in which one game is just wrapped up. The Miami Heat get another chance to be the eighth seed. The Chicago Bulls season has come to an end. We will say the same thing about either the Dallas Mavericks or the Sacramento Kings in about 2.5 hours from now. So a lot to discuss throughout the evening. You can join us as always at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So far, we have not seen a single trade with a first-round pick in the 2025 NFL draft. There has yet to be one pick in the first round that has been dealt. Four teams have previously dealt, whether it was this offseason or previous, second-round picks. The Steelers gave their second-round pick to the Seahawks. That's number 52. The Panthers gave theirs to the Bears at number 39. Bears sitting pretty in this draft with picks. They've got number 10. They've got number 39. They've got number 41. So they're pretty top-heavy there. And then number 72 as well. Got a lot of action early for Chicago. The Vikings gave up a pick to Buffalo. The Rams gave up a second-round pick to Carolina. So there's been four second-round picks that have been dealt. There have yet to be any in the first round. If no first-round picks are traded, whether it's now or up until the draft itself happens, that will be the first time ever where every team, all 32 at least, make a pick in the first round in the NFL draft. So, what pick could get traded? And when will the first traded pick be? Because there's some teams, as we get in the back end of the first round, that may eventually move. I would fully expect there to be at least one trade in the first round, if for no other reason than there are some teams, like I mentioned, that have to or have the opportunity to accumulate some picks as the draft moves forward and they see how the board shakes out. And also teams that might be looking to get back into the first round. You know, with the way that things are structured now, for a couple of different reasons, you do see teams trying to make a splash and get that night one pick. Remember, the draft used to be like all day Saturday and then pick it up on Sunday. Now we've got round one on Thursday, round two and three on Friday, the rest of the draft on Saturday. And when that started, you thought, well, is that really going to be something that works? And it has been like, why didn't they do this sooner kind of decision. So round one, 32 picks. Right now, every team is going to make a pick, but where will those trades be? So you may even want to trade back in for that fifth-year option. You want to maybe trade back in to just bolster your first round or your first day action. You may want to do what's best for your team and a guy is falling, but there will probably be, there always have been trades, and I don't think that will be the exception this year. The difference is it's never been this late where every team has had a pick. Typically, teams do some previous trades or you've got first-round picks from years prior. No, everybody right now has a pick in the first round of the 2025 NFL draft. So where is the first trade going to be? I really don't think any of these guys at the top, and I'm talking top four, make a trade unless things get a little interesting. But for the most part, I have a hard time seeing a trade come early. Cam Ward is going to the Titans. We know that. the Browns then are going to be between Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, and I am still going to put Shedeur Sanders in the mix. And I don't think you have a team that can take Travis Hunter or can take Abdul Carter and that needs a quarterback, not walk away with one of those three things. So the lowest that they would trade is four. The Patriots don't have any need to trade up unless they really want Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. But I also don't think one of those teams is going to be willing to then just give that pick and miss out and take one of these other guys. Not that there aren't guys that are going to go through four from 10 and we're going to look back and say, oh, maybe they, you know, have we known now what we knew then? But it's clear that the biggest upside is with Carter, is with Hunter, and is with some of these quarterbacks. It's just a matter of where do the quarterbacks fall and where do they get taken. If you are the Giants and the Patriots are calling, do you trade back and then miss out on your guys completely just so you can take Mason Graham, Will Campbell, Armon Membo, one of these guys? I don't think they move. Now, if the Giants are at three and they want to figure out a way to trade back, still get a quarterback. But I'm trying to finish my sentences here, and I just don't see those guys not going. Like Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter, 2, 3, and 4, one of those picks, their names will be. And the only way one of them would be four is if the Giants take Shedeur Sanders, which I do still think they do. And they've got that big workout tomorrow. So unless his arm flies off his torso with the football, I think that they do like him. I think they want to get their due diligence in there. And I'm just of the theory and of the mind that if you're a top five team and you need a quarterback and there's a quarterback available, you take that quarterback, a top five team in the draft. The worst thing that can happen is you take a guy and then you're bad. And then the next year, you're in a position to take another guy. The Cardinals did that, where they took Josh Rosen. And then the next year, they were bad. They had the number one pick, so they took Kyler Murray. And when we look back at that draft, you know, Josh Allen was taken, and Lamar Jackson. And we don't really make fun as much of the Cardinals, because they ended up getting their guy later. We don't say, oh, they should have taken Lamar Jackson. They ended up getting a guy later, and he hasn't brought a ton of postseason success, but he's been a reliable number one quarterback for them for years. So if you take a quarterback and he's bad, then you can still find yourself in a position to take a quarterback, and I don't think that that's a terrible thing. I'd rather take the risk, take a guy, have it not work out, then scratch my head if I should have taken the guy or not. You need a quarterback to win in football. Nico Harrison be damned, and defense wins championships. You do need a quarterback. Sometimes teams have won where the quarterback hasn't been as great. Who do we make fun of here? We make fun of Rob Johnson. We make fun of Trent Dilfer. We make fun of the game is not what the game was then. You can't not, you need a quarterback. So when you have the opportunity to swing for one, I think you take that swing. So short story long, I don't see any of these top picks being moved, possibly like with each other, but I really don't see it. So I think Tennessee's taking it one, the Browns are taking it two, the Giants are taking it three. I suppose you could look at some wild card situations here between New England at four, Jacksonville at five, the Raiders at six, the Jets at seven. And when you're in that kind of position, you think, well, why would they trade back? And the reason you would trade back is to accumulate more picks. New England's got nine picks. They've got number four. They've got 38. They've got a couple in the third. They've got a fourth rounder. I don't think there's a massive need that when they're at number four, think, hey, we need to accumulate rather than get still number four in the draft, a stud guy. With Jacksonville, they've got 10 picks. Number 5, 36. 2 in the third, 2 in the fourth. They've got plenty where they don't need to be thinking, hey, this is a draft we need to accumulate picks. The Raiders, 9 picks. Number 6, 37, 68, 108. And at number 6, everybody's mocking Ashton Jeanty there. You're not trading out of that to not get him. The New York Jets come in at number 7. And this is a team with 8 picks, number 7, 42, 73. Maybe a chance, but new coach, new system, new identity. You're going to be able to get a guy likely on the offensive line where you do need more help. And I don't know that you pass that up. Now, a team that's been getting a little bit more attention as of late to possibly make a trade is the Carolina Panthers. The Carolina Panthers could be trading down. Beat writer Joe Pearson noting that the team is now, quote, open to trading down, but it does depend on what happens in front of the draft. If you look at a bunch of different mock drafts, edge rusher is the position that many are thinking Carolina takes, but Carolina's spot becomes more interesting because they're at number 8. And while I still am on the train that Shedeur gets taken before this, if Shedeur Sanders has not been taken yet, suddenly everybody is on the Shedeur to New Orleans wagon, since Derek Carr is going to miss some, if not all, of 2025, and they could certainly use a quarterback to turn things around there, get a guy on a rookie scale deal. They've got a lot of salary cap that they have to deal with, so maybe this is a guy that they can bring in. So now the Panthers sitting at 8, their pick becomes more attractive if you are a team that says, okay, you know, we would like a quarterback. We can't trade up to 2 or 3 to get him, but we could maybe make a better package and a better play to jump ahead of number 9 and get him at number 8. And when you see these teams that want or are mocked or are presumed to get these guys, again, it's not, and the Panthers have 9 picks overall, so some of them at the back end, but they've got a lot of work to do, 5-12 last year. If everybody thinks that Ashton Jeanty is going to go 6, and you want Ashton Jeanty, you don't trade with the Raiders at 6. You trade up to 5 to get in front of the Raiders and get Ashton Jeanty. If you think Shedeur Sanders is going to go number 9 to the Saints, you don't trade with the Saints. You trade up to number 8 and jump in front of the Saints. For that reason, the Saints could even be the team that sees this and trades with their NFC South foes, because if you trade with us, you are not going to trade with anyone else. We've seen teams do that, trade up a spot, and you're like, what are they doing? They're giving up this pick for that, but they're getting insurance that they're still going to get the guy and nothing can be rattled in front of them. So the most likely trade maybe in the top 10 could be Carolina. Some of those other teams are a wild card. We could be in for pure chaos. This is one of these drafts where we don't know a lot. We think, well, we know Cam Ward's going 1. We very strongly think Travis Hunter's going 2. A lot of people think Abdul Carter's going 3, with me being in the camp that thinks Shedeur still could go to the Giants. And if not there, I would agree that he's not going past New Orleans. These other teams, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, we think Jeanty to the Raiders, Lyman here, defense there. But we're not quite sure where all the pieces are going to fall. So there's a level of predictability, but also a pretty strong level of unpredictability with what could still happen in this draft. And we may not see a trade in the top 10. There's plenty of other teams that could be interested in making a trade. The most likely one that people are thinking of is perhaps the Minnesota Vikings. They've got pick number 24 overall, but they only have 3 other picks. They've got number 97, they've got 139, and 187. That's a 3rd, a 5th, and a 6th. So the Vikings could either trade back, still be in the first round, trade into the second, grab another 3rd, they could be a team with just four picks to acquire more talent in a draft that's known for some depth. I mean, again, it's like, okay, you draft from 4 to 10 to 17 to 28. You're still kind of in the same ballpark of player. Could we see the Washington Commanders draft before that or after that? They're at pick number 29, but they only have 5 picks in the draft. So maybe they could trade. The Miami Dolphins, another team that could possibly be making moves. They've got 10 picks, one at 13, one at 48, 98, and we'll see how things shake out from there. These are just some of the teams being mentioned, maybe the Rams even with 8 picks. So I don't know where it's coming. I would expect it to come. I don't think that we see it come before draft night. This will probably be a, hey, let's get the card in. Atlanta, another team, just 5 picks. Atlanta with number 15, 46, and then not till 118. So right now, no picks have been traded in the first round. We've never had a draft where all 32 teams have taken a first-round pick. I don't think that we will have to change that way of thinking or that truth, but it does seem like it may not happen until the night of. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll kick this around and some of the other top 10 issues with Sam Bruckhaus of Sumer Sports. He will join us in 5 minutes right here on the Infinity Sports Network. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. To parrot what you just heard, our NFL draft previews throughout the week leading up to the draft itself are sponsored by Ego. Twos that deliver or exceed the power and performance of gas without the noise, fuss, and fumes for any outdoor challenge. Count on Ego. Tools to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. Ego, that's power beyond belief. NFL draft a week away in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I have no earthly idea how that city is going to handle this, but they are, and it's going to be something to witness indeed. We'll have you covered next week as we've been getting you covered and trying to figure out what's going to happen. Sam Bruckhaus joins us, senior NFL analyst and data scientist with Sumer Sports. We've been chatting some NFL with Sam and some draft with Sam, and now we're a week away. Just looking at like the fact that, and thanks for coming on, the fact that up until now, nobody's made a trade yet. We have not had anybody trade out of the first round. We could see all 32 teams make a selection. I have a hard time thinking that that will be true come 11 o'clock on Thursday night of next week. Where are some teams, or are there some teams, or what teams would there be that would have the most interest in saying, okay, we haven't done anything yet, but our phone has your number ready to call. We have it on when we're sleeping. We want to make some action here in this first round, Sam.
So I think it really starts at 2. I think it starts with the Browns. The Browns are an immensely analytical organization. They don't really have a quarterback solution right now. I know they signed Joe Flacco, but how old is Joe Flacco nowadays? I mean, he's not a long-term solution. And I think that they're basically playing a waiting game and a betting game that a quarterback might be available at 33. I think it's probably the smartest idea for them to just draft Travis Hunter, but I badly think that they need one of these quarterbacks. And I think they're betting that teams like the Saints, who could potentially trade up, that teams like the Steelers, who could potentially trade up, all may pass on a quarterback or may try to move around for a quarterback. And so I think those three teams, particularly pick 21, pick 9, and then pick 2, could be in transit. Some other people that I think may want to trade back within the end of the round would be teams like the Bills, teams like the Vikings, who don't have any massive needs, but need to rebuild some parts of their deep success teams from last year, and could probably see value in the draft just based on how the positional elements are expected to go by trading back. So there could be trades all over the board, but I'd start gearing up. I'd start grabbing the sides of my chair at certainly around 5 and maybe even as early as 2.
I'd have a hard time if I'm the Browns. Where would they trade? I can't imagine being the Browns. And I know they need a quarterback. And even if they just stand pat, there's probably going to be at least somebody they like at 33. But then to trade out, to have the number two pick and not come away, then to not come away with Cam Ward, Shadur, I'll throw in there and ask you about in a second, Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, I mean, I think you would need a pretty sizable haul to be budged out of that spot.
And I think that's what they're probably asking for. Remember, the Browns have a vice president who is the Jonah Hill character in Moneyball. This is an immensely analytical organization. ESPN rates them as the most analytical organization in the NFL. And I think if someone gets super duper desperate, particularly to get the quarterback of their choice, and especially if that's a guy like Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe, both of who will be in attendance at the draft. So there's clearly something us in the media don't know, because no one really has them mocked as going in the first round, or at least that's not the consensus. I think if a big haul comes up, I think they'd be okay just because they understand the draft curve and that the draft is a real coin flip anyway, taking a massive haul, reloading in the first round, and continuing to get good players. That being said, I do think Travis Hunter is the only top-tier player in this draft. I think even Abdul Carter is a little lower than him, and Cam Ward certainly lower than him as well. So it seems like the Titans are going to go number one. I have no problem with them going Travis Hunter number two and waiting to see which quarterback falls to them at 33.
All right, so I've been saying, as we talked to Sam Bruckhouse, senior NFL analyst, data scientist, Sumer Sports, my hot take that I'm trying to get out there and trying to make sure everybody knows it's mine, which I have seen a person or two, and I don't know where you are, maybe also suggest it. I'm going four quarterbacks in the first round. I'm going Cam Ward number one, obviously. I think Shadur does get taken high, and I'm still putting him with the Giants. And then I think the Steelers have a pick. The Saints could certainly get in there. Somebody might also trade up into the first round with the fifth-year option being in play. And, yeah, I saw that list of guys that are coming, and I thought, I don't know. I mean, There's a lot to, like, the NFL draft's going to provide a lot to do for one night in Green Bay. I don't know what these guys are thinking they're going to do for two nights in Green Bay. So Right. Four quarterbacks in round one is my hot take.
That certainly seems like what the NFL thinks is going to happen. I was more radical of this. I'm not a scout and I'm not an insider, but I am a data scientist and I do analyze all the process of this stuff. And I wrote a mock draft earlier in the season, basically trying to figure out which teams would feel the most pressure to get a quarterback prior to free agency. And I thought that, you know, the Giants, as you said, still feel that pressure, even though they have Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. Here's an analytic for you. It's not advanced at all, but here's the following coaches who have given up on those two players, Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson. Sean Payton on both of them, Kevin Stefanski, Pete Carroll, and Mike Tomlin. That's like four coach of the year, Super Bowl leading candidate coaches right there. So I think the Giants are feeling the quarterback pressure. I think the Saints, especially due to the latest news about Derek Carr's shoulder, are feeling the quarterback pressure. The Steelers are feeling the quarterback pressure. The Browns are feeling the quarterback pressure. And when I think even more, when there's a limited pool of teams that are in that vein, it starts to get a little spooky once you get past two and three and four and start wondering what all those teams are doing and what calls are being made that you don't know. And I think at least one of these teams is going to get a little stir crazy and either draft Shadur Sanders maybe at three or four or five trading up, or Shadur Sanders could fall to the Saints. And then everyone else starts getting stirred up and starts picking Jalen Milroe and Jackson Dart.
Is there something that seems like a lock to you when you're trying to figure out, all right, you've studied the players, you've studied the team needs, and there could be some mayhem between one, two, and three. We don't know. The Patriots seems like they could go defense. The Jaguars, possibly offensive line. The Raiders, there's a lot of Ashton Jeanty Raiders. I think everybody starts a mock draft with that. The Jets, maybe offensive line. The Panthers, an edge guy. It seems like there's a level of predictability in terms of we're all putting a certain position, but maybe unpredictability in terms of we don't know what player there's going to be. Is there something in the top 10 that, outside of Cam Ward, you would be the most confident in predicting that you would think would happen?
I think there's one ultra lock, and then there's one that I am kind of locked in on, but I could see how it could go the other way. The first one, you kind of touched on it. I think the Panthers are going to go defense, or they're going to trade back and still go defense. It seems that the Panthers have a very coherent plan that they followed and has more or less turned out pretty well for them. Last year, end up putting Dan Morgan in the general manager seat. They start reshuffling their front office, adding Brant Tillis, adding Sumer Sports alumni Eric Eager in there, and they really doubled down on offense in a very analytical way. They went and grabbed wide receivers in the draft, which is pretty much the only way you can get top wide receivers, and they added interior linemen in free agency. It worked out pretty well for them. Down the stretch, they looked like a better team. They're still in a position to fix up their team, but Bryce started looking better as the year went on. The running game came along, and I think they feel good about where they left last season, despite the record not necessarily showing it. I think this year is defense, 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 and there's going to be a ton of guys on the board, whether that's Jalen Walker, who I think would be an excellent fit given they need an edge player, and also they're losing Shaq Thompson at the off-ball linebacker position. He could kind of flex in and out of those. Or if they trade back, they could go get one of these multiple edge rushers that will likely be drafted or available in the first round. The second kind of lock that I'm starting to hone in on is I'm just confused about how Armon Mimbu has gone from like a second round pick, borderline first round pick in December and January to potentially being discussed as the Patriots picking him now. I think Will Campbell is going to go before Armon Mimbu, just as kind of everyone expected going into this draft. I think the talks about Campbell's arms is a little overplayed. The dude showed he could play left tackle at a high level. Me and Lindsey Rhodes talked to Duke Manyweather, his trainer from OL Masterminds, on the Sumer Sports Show podcast, which you can find wherever you listen to podcasts. And he's certified. This guy is a tackle, and he's a top-tier one at that. He showed that at LSU. I think it's not a lock, but I'm pretty confident that the NFL is going to stick to what we thought weeks and weeks ago, and that Will Campbell will probably go at four, and if he doesn't, he's still going to go in front of Mimbu.
Yeah, it'll be interesting with these offensive linemen. You know, for the average fan, we don't have as much, I think, knowledge on them until we really get in depth, and we're talking about all the position guys and maybe even some of the wreckers on defense, and that's kind of where we look. One of the positions that we do know a little bit about would be tight end. And I'm seeing, you know, Tyler Warren out of Penn State, even Loveland out of Michigan. I don't know. You know, they're not Brock Bowers to me, but I've seen them as high as the Jets. Otherwise, maybe both in the top 15. When should we start to expect tight ends names being called?
I would expect at least one of them to go top 15. I expect that to be Tyler Warren. I think the Colts are a good spot for him. Definitely want to build up your pass-catching unit for the final year of evaluation of Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones, who they now have. And then I think Colson Loveland probably will go slightly after that. I think the Broncos, I thought, were going to be immensely interested. They added a tight end in free agency, so I think the Chargers may be a good landing spot, get a weapon for Justin Herbert. He's also a Michigan guy. But here's what I'll say. I think they're a little closer. You mentioned, I don't think either of them is Brock Bowers. I don't think they're one of these, you know, all of a sudden they're your top target earner. Tyler Warren, when it comes to our run blocking and pass blocking Sumer scores, is better than Colson Loveland by the numbers. I've read scouting reports and I've looked into it, and some people think that Colson Loveland may have a higher ceiling than Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren also has a lot of positional versatility, as does Loveland at the same, you know, part and parcel. But I think both of these guys are certified tight ends. Here's one thing I'd warn NFL teams of, though. Number one, it's very difficult to figure out which tight end is the right one. Remember, years ago, we thought Dalton Kincaid was going to be the guy. It ended up being Sam Laporta. There's a lot of tight ends in this draft. It's a little risky to go non-premium position in the first round. And moreover, they have a little longer aging curve. You expect them to peak in about year three, and most of the fantasy top performers, if you're into that, are typically a little bit older. And so I think you can jump back into the second or third round, look at a guy like Gunnar Helm, like Mason Taylor, and probably get a similar value as you would in the first round. I'd caution teams against jumping too far up to get a tight end.
All right, you can answer one of these. You can answer both of these, or you can just not answer and hang up, and I guess I'll talk to you another time. But when you're looking at this in this draft and everybody you've talked about, and I know, you know, you jump around different stations and you talk team specific, and is there a player that you personally have been thinking, I'm still feeling like they go higher than what people are saying, or we talk about a guy and you're not as in love with them as the consensus seems to be? Are there any of those guys that jump out to you that you just have a different read on than what you're seeing from everybody else?
I think there's two guys who have been combine fallers, I guess you could call them, or off-season fallers. And I think it's mostly due to rumors about character stuff or off-the-field stuff. And that's James Pierce and Luther Burden. I just think they're top-tier talents. I mean, this time last year, we were talking about both of those guys as top five picks, and especially in the case of James Pierce, he performed excellent in tackles for loss, really high pressure rate, all in the SEC. I expect him to be kind of a lock for the first round. I get that teams may be concerned about one thing or the other. I don't know the reports, but I've just read what has been reported. That being said, I think he's just a top-tier talent. I think you have to make bets on top-tier talent. He reminds me kind of years ago of Jalen Carter, of how people thought he might fall to the second round despite being a top-tier prospect. And sure enough, the Eagles gobbled him up, and now he's a top player on the Super Bowl-winning team. Luther Burden is very similar. Luther Burden didn't have quite the production last year in terms of just gross yards, but he was still very effective in our Sumer scores receiving-wise, which are looking at them frame by frame and looking at every other play that has ever been done. I think they just had a year from heck with the offense from Missouri. Brady Cook couldn't get him the ball. The offensive play calling changed a little bit. I still think Luther Burden might be a top-tier wide receiver prospect, especially if he falls to the second round. I think he could provide quite a bit of value.
Can't wait for it. Good insight. Sam, always a pleasure. Appreciate the Eric Eager drop in there. Like to, you know, keep his candle alive in terms of what you guys are up to now with Carolina. So good to hear that. Sam, always a pleasure, and we'll be in touch and enjoy the draft.
Thank you all so much. Going to be fun.
Sam Brockhaus joining us again with Sumer Sports, senior NFL analyst and data scientist. And you can follow them, Sumer, S-U-M-E-R, Sumer Sports. Got plenty more on the draft throughout the night. Got plenty to get into with the NBA. You guys really need to at least turn on this Mavericks-Kings game for at least 3 minutes. Just any 3 minutes. Because they continue to show Nico Harrison just sitting by himself in the stands. Like, not very little will to live in his face. And it's still a close game, and it's still early. Details on these games tonight and much more. That's why we do an update, and we do one right now. Here is Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Miami running around, circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
The biggest voices in sports.
He crowned our ass, but they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
The heartbreak.
Lynch in the backfield. Russell looks, throws inside. Oh, my God! It's picked off at the goal line. It's picked off by Gus Butler. Intended for Lockett at the goal line. Oh, my word.
The celebrations.
Driving forward, diving to the goal line. A touchdown and a title for the Patriots.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Look at Brady. One more ring.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
Damn straight it's the Bulletin Blitz on your hump day. It is Wednesday, April 16th, 2025. And Bart, we start today's Blitz with the Golden State Warriors. They finally won a play-in game. I know that was a dream that Steph Curry and the crew had their entire careers, ever since they were little boys, dribbling the basketball. Just wanted to avoid getting bounced out of the play-in tournament. I'm being facetious there. Let's go to Steph Curry. He says he is relieved to make the postseason.
After a 12-3 start, an emotional roller coaster of the season, for us to be able to you know, climb our way back into relevancy and then, you know, trick off a couple opportunities to get it done within the 82. It just came down to, you know, having one game where we just get a win however we could, and thankfully it happened.
And also now they don't have to play Friday. They don't have to worry about it. They don't have to then have a short turnaround and play on Sunday. They get some rest. But this is an experience that they have not had. They keep getting in these play-in games. The Golden State Warriors keep getting in these play-in tournaments and not winning. So for them to finally win one, for them to get the Jimmy Butler help to do that, a big monkey off their back, maybe something to propel them going forward. They are a favorite against the Houston Rockets, but, you know, to get that win, to get a little bit of a extra, you know, home gate, that never hurts either if you're the owners, but you also want to win those games if you're going to do that. Unlike your Chicago Bulls.
No, we'll get there literally right now, because stop me if you heard it before. The Miami Heat have eliminated the Chicago Bulls. You could have stopped as soon as I said Miami. The Bulls are meant to lose in the first round of the play-in tournament. That's what they're built for, to be just mid. Anyway, he did win. 109-90 was the final score in a game that absolutely nobody cared about. Bart, they eliminated him today. They eliminated him last year. In 2023, the Heat eliminated the Bulls again. In 2013, the Miami Heat eliminated the Chicago Bulls. In 2011, the Miami Heat eliminated the Chicago Bulls. They cannot beat them. So here's head coach Eric Spoelstra. Says the team is in a good place.
Guys feel great about this win. Really put a lot into this. This is not something that could just, you know, happen overnight. You know, we feel like there's been some good things you know, happening the last several weeks, and this is the first time we've been, you know, mostly whole in a while where guys feel good.
It took them a while to recover. After they traded Jimmy Butler, they went on a 10-game losing streak at one point. So, you know, this has not been a great season for them. Look, credit Eric Spoelstra. You were able to go into Chicago and beat the Bulls.
Might as well be North Miami.
So now they are going to advance to take on the Hawks, a team that doesn't seem too interested in continuing their season. That game will be on Friday night. It's always a little confusing because the first night of the play-in, a team made the postseason. And then the second night, you're like, okay, so the Heat are in. Well, no, they got to take on the Hawks, right, a team that lost the other night. But now the Hawks are the home team, remember, because they had the better... It takes a minute, and then even when you're watching it, you're like, "What happens now?" And then they do this, and I don't know. I'm ready for the real playoffs to begin.
Yeah, me too. Get me out of all this Fugazi Fakakta stuff. All right, let's switch gears, go over to the NFL, because obviously we are just getting ever so closer to the NFL draft. Joe Shane, Giants general manager, spoke to the media. I don't know why. He's at number 3. He has 2 teams that needs to make their decision before he gets the pick. Joe Shane, however, says the Giants, they are not forced to draft a quarterback at 3.
With the signing of those 2 players, I think we put ourselves in a position where, you know, I don't think that's mandatory or something that we're, you know, our feet to the fire and we have to do. You know, I think the 2 guys we signed have played a lot of ball. They've got a lot of skins on the wall, and I do think we've upgraded that room, you know, compared to where it was a year ago. I like the 2 guys that we have, and, you know, Tommy's still in there, and he's won games for us too, and he's still developing, you know, so we're happy with the makeup of the room right now.
See, this is something you say after everybody knows that you're holding a couple of workouts this week, including with Shedeur Sanders. Then you have to backtrack and say, well, actually, no, it's this. So you play the little dance. You don't want to choreograph what you do, and actions speak louder than words. So when there's an action that speaks pretty loudly, you got to at least dial it back with some words. I'm still on the Giants to Shedeur. Shedeur to the Giants train. I'm still there. No matter what Joe Shane says, I understand I may be wrong about that. I just feel like if you have a top pick and you need a quarterback, you take a quarterback. Good thing is we're going to find out in 8 days.
Yeah, and I'm starting to get on that train with you, because when you refuse to name Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, they're just, you know, the guys that we signed, they're taking a quarterback. All right, let's sneak one more in here. Here's Ashton Jensen. He's going to be a top NFL draft pick. Someone's going to need a really good running back. He might be a three-down guy. He might be the best back in the draft. Although, I do like Amarian Hampton as well. Ashton Jensen talked about the process of meeting with multiple teams during the draft.
Conversations have been great. I mean, especially you see with, you know, what Saquon was able to do and, you know, bringing his team all the way to the Super Bowl. But a lot of teams have a need for a running back, you know, a workhorse that you can, you know, take most of the load throughout the game and, you know, wear defensives down. And, you know, they're seeing real value in that from the running back position now.
Genty gave a note to all 32 GMs that said, it's tackle football. You know what I'm saying? I draft a guy they can't tackle. Thank you for your time, Ashton Genty. That note via the Players Tribune. I think 6 is the lowest he goes to the Raiders. You could get another team that, even Jacksonville, could talk themselves into it next week. We will find out. Talk more NFL draft throughout the night, of course, with it on the horizon. Also want to get into the NBA play-in tournament, specifically a team that, well, should be competing for finals, but this is what we're getting. More Nico Harrison fallout next.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.